This is an IELTS Energy Podcast, episode 124. What should I do if my mind goes blank on the IELTS speaking test? You are listening to the IELTS Energy Podcast from All Ears English. We believe in connection, not perfection, and we're here to show you how to get the score that you need on your next IELTS exam. Get started with our 7 easy steps to a 7 or higher at allearsenglish.com/SEVEN. Now, let's get to the show.
In today's IELTS Energy Podcast, you're going to learn a very simple technique for dealing with blank minds and getting the highest score on the IELTS exam.
If you're looking for a clear step-by-step process to get to your 7, get the 7 easy steps to a 7 or higher on the IELTS. Go to allearsenglish.com/SEVEN.
Hey, Lindsay, what's up, Buttercup?
Hey, Jessica, what's shaking? What's shaking bacon, as you say? You know, I've stolen all of your phrases, so.
I am going to promise our listeners to do some research on new greetings.
Come up with some new ones.
I'll come up with some new rhymes for you guys.
And we don't recommend greeting the examiner with what's shaking bacon. It's a little bit.
Probably not
the best idea.
We encourage you to be creative and interesting with your vocabulary, but basically, like, you're not going to address the examiner at all, really. Like, you're never going to ask them a question. You're never going to, right? Like, that irks me a little bit. Oh. If I'm practicing with students and trying to make it like the test, right? And you're like, so what's your favorite food? And they're like, tacos? What's your favorite food? I'm like, no, that's not how you... Ugh.
This is a test. It's not a conversation, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes I can understand why they may want to get into that dialogue. Personally, I feel less nervous when I'm in dialogue with people rather than when I'm just speaking, you know?
Yeah. And but, you know what? And I think if your mind goes blank too, that's kind of like your go-to. Like, because that's what naturally happens. If you're in a conversation and you finish talking, you ask the other person a question. That's what conversation is.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Exactly.
So, like, if your mind goes blank on the test, you're like, what do you like to do? Like,
mind goes blank. So ding, ding, you just hit on our topic for today, Jessica. And I'm glad you did, because we want to answer that question. Yeah. So when your mind goes blank, we know that a lot of our listeners struggle with this. So the answer is not to go and throw a question to the examiner because it's not a conversation. But what can we do? I mean, why does the mind go blank, and what can we actually do to prevent that?
Yeah, so Lindsay and I have had some interesting conversations about this. And, you know, we've come up with a method we're going to teach you guys to deal with this exactly when this happens on the test. So, but why does it happen in the first place? I think, well, first of all, nerves, right? Mm. Like, you're just nervous and anxious. And I think maybe you're analyzing your own answers, like, while you're talking, and you're like, oh, like, I said that wrong. Like, and then you just freak out and you hit a wall. You just can't think of any more words.
Yeah. And that doesn't only happen on tests. That can happen out in the real world. If we're in front of someone that we feel nervous around, or a group of people, we start to self-monitor. And that's where we lose our spontaneity. We lose our confidence and we get into real trouble.
Think about, like, what came to mind when you were describing how you feel there. Like, what came to mind was when I was, like, a teenager and I had a crush on a boy.
Yeah.
Or something, or not even a teenager. Like, shoot, in my 20s. I mean, come on, like, anytime. Like, if you, you know, you think this person is beautiful or whatever, and you're just like, your mind is totally like, you cannot talk in front of this person. So maybe our method can help you date.
In the dating world. In the dating world. Yeah, no, it's true. And that is the time when you're in front of someone that you're interested in the dating world, that's the time when you need to be spontaneous and confident, right? So it really grips you when in the least convenient times.
And exactly.
As well as on the speaking test. So, I mean, what's our go-to method here, Jessica? What's the strategy that we can recommend our listeners to get over this problem?
Yeah, the root of this idea came from you, Lindsay. This was really awesome. I really love this method. So, Okay, so if your mind goes blank, like one of the problems is you don't know which direction to look for ideas, right?
Yeah.
You like, am I supposed to think of good vocabulary? Should I think of a filler phrase? Should I, like, what should I do? So our technique, guys, which we're gonna show you examples of, is to have one idea. Your way of dealing with this is to start talking about yourself. Give personal examples. That's your go-to.
Yeah, I like that. I'm imagining, you know, being in a car, sitting at an intersection and just sitting there not knowing which road to take, right?
Right.
So you could potentially spend the whole speaking test stumbling over your words and sitting at that intersection. But instead, we're going to show you guys how to choose one road and just dart down that road. Just don't look back. Go straight down that path.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. So I think if you guys practice this enough also, if you get good, you know, at this method, this is gonna help you on the test so much.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So this is a key episode, Jessica. So we want to have our listeners get some real examples. So where is it that we should go? Like, which road should we go down then if we're sitting at the intersection and we're feeling our mind starting to go blank?
Right. Exactly. So right away, just say from personal experience, the first thing I think of, for example, you know, any sort of example phrase you could use to introduce this. So you're gonna just go to a personal story right away.
Okay. So okay? Go straight to your life, and everyone can talk about their own lives. Hopefully.
Yeah. Right? Exactly.
We can talk about ourselves.
So Lindsay and I thought that where this happens most is in speaking part three, of course, because the questions are more difficult. So we're going to give you guys, four example answers today of when our minds go blank and what we go for. All right.
Okay. All right.
So I'll ask you the first question. Okay.
Okay. I'm a little nervous.
I know. I'm going to find a super hard one. Okay.
No.
Just so you know. let's see. Do you think, okay. Do you think, no, this is really hard.
No, okay. Don't do that to me.
Okay, I'll ask you an easy one first, and then I'll ask you the hard one
later.
All
right, we'll work up to it.
let's see. Why is it important to have role models?
Ooh, that's a great question. Well, in my personal experience, we need role models because there's so many times in life where we just don't know which direction to take. You know, personally, my dad is a really great role model because he is also a business owner and an entrepreneur. So that means he's driven and goal oriented. So he spent his whole life building up this business from zero to a huge success. And I've always found that his influence on me has made it very easy for me to make my own decisions in life and to follow my own path. So I think that's the reason that it's so important to have a solid role model in your life if you want to succeed.
That's great. Wow. Clap, 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 clap.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. Did I get
that
a nine?
That was really
nine,
good. Nine, totally.
Please. Oh, yes.
Great. Highest score ever. No,
all right. So I was stuck there in the beginning, right? So that's a good example of where our listeners could get stuck. And I immediately went into thinking about someone in my family, right? I mean, and then your brain kind of loosens because you're talking about your father, your mother, your brother, right? People that you love.
Right. The ideas start coming more easily. Your fluency increases, actually, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And it's very, so guys, this is your go-to method. Let's see it in action one more time. Let's do it. Are you ready, Jessica? I'm going to turn the tables and ask you a question. Don't worry. It won't be too hard. All right. Here we go. All right. How have shopping habits changed over recent years?
Oh, that's a good question. Wow. Well, if I use myself as an example, I used to do all my shopping like in traditional sort of department stores or malls, right? And I guess that's true for most people in the world, not only in my country. But these days, you know, I bought a membership in Amazon Prime, so I get free shipping. And that is like huge motivation for me to just save time. When I am in between jobs or something, in between work at home, I could just go online and think like, oh, I forgot to order a birthday present for so-and-so. Then I just spend 2 minutes, go on Amazon, choose something awesome, ship to my house 2 days later. So I'd say that's the biggest change, is going from like physical stores to online shopping.
Ooh, very nice. Very nice, Jessica. I like that. I give you a 9.5.
Oh, yeah.
Off the charts, in other words.
First time in the history of IELTS, right here.
First time ever. Very cool. So I like that. So I could note the change in your voice, right? Your voice is very fluid. It almost sounded like you were having coffee with a friend and talking about, hey, I just got a subscription to Amazon Prime, and it's very relaxed, very loose.
Yeah, very, very native speakery, if you will. Like I started by stumbling, right? Just like, and that's okay. Like native speakers do that. But if you follow it up with, you know, an awesomely organized, natural sounding answer, then that doesn't matter. That stumble doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's it. So this is a way to just naturally get a sense of relaxation in your voice, and that'll come off. That'll become very clear to the examiner, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right, Lindsay, I'm going to ask you one more, and it's not going to be super hard. Okay.
Oh, God.
this one is actually kind of easy. It sounds easy, but I think the answer would not be so simple. Okay. In your country, why do people watch so much television?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, in my opinion, the reason that people watch so much television is that they have a more passive attitude, right? So when I was a teenager, I used to watch a lot of TV, right? I watched 90210. That was a classic. And a bunch of other shows that were just garbage, just putting garbage into my head. And it's because, you know, I wasn't necessarily always being encouraged to go out and come up with my own ideas and create my own games or my own kind of challenges. I just wanted to sit back and receive the ideas, right? So I think that's the reason that people are watching a lot of TV, is that they're lazy, not just in the physical sense, but in the intellectual sense, right? In the mind, the cerebral sense. Right. We don't want to think actively. We just want to be kind of passive and just consume things. And I think it's a bad way to go.
That was awesome. That was really good. I actually talk about this topic a lot with other parents, and because there's a lot of controversy over like kid allowing your children to watch TV and stuff. So
it's an interesting idea.
Right? Like if you're choosy, and it depends on how your child is watching, because you could tell. And like I, for myself also, like if I'm watching TV and my eyes just glaze over and like I'm not really engaged with it.
Yeah.
But a lot of these kids shows like Dora the Explorer or something, like kids have to talk back to her like they're engaged.
Oh, that's great. That's so different from what we had when we were kids. You know,
it was
just
like
passive consumption of media. Yeah, it was just, so now it's different. I like to hear that. Excellent. Excellent.
Okay. All right. I think one more? Do we have time for one more?
One more. Okay. Let's do it. We do. All right. Let me see here. Sports. Let's talk about sports, Jessica.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Good topic for you. Okay. Do you think the types of sports that are popular will change in the future?
Wow. That's tough.
That's a tough question.
You know, well, actually, I'm going to say yeah. I'm going to say yeah, for sure. If I just take my city, for example, okay? If you look, I think in general, say even 5 years ago, a lot of people in Portland were just all about basketball, the Portland Blazers, right?
Uh-huh.
And then this speaks to the country at large, more about the NBA, the professional football, American football, the NFL. But I see a big change in the types of sports that fans are into and passionate about. Soccer is becoming huge. Even women's soccer, after the Women's World Cup this last summer, right? Just recently in Canada, our professional women's team in Portland, they sold out every game. I mean, we're talking about, you know, what, like 20,000 people coming to watch a professional women's sports game. Like that would have been unthinkable 5 years ago. So I'm going to say for sure, more people watching soccer, but even better, more people and supporting professional women's sports, which I think is a definite positive change.
Very nice. Very nice. Good answer. And you went straight to your city of Portland and what you've seen personally. And it became very natural and it flowed very nicely.
Yeah. Once you start talking about yourself, your own interests, your own experience, your fluency increases, your confidence increases.
Yeah, totally. No, that was good. So guys, the go-to strategy here is go straight to your personal experiences. And again, the examiner wants to hear about your experiences. There's nothing wrong with sharing, you know, your stories. So this,
exactly.
This is great.
Yeah. And remember, guys, you're not graded on your ideas either. You're graded on your English. So whether or not you're talking about, you know, recent statistics of sports viewers, or you're talking about your personal observations in your city of people watching sports, that doesn't matter. It's how you talk about it that matters.
And get used to doing this when you're out having conversations with friends. Get used to opening up. It's not easy always to talk about your own ideas or opinions or personal stories, but try to practice it by just opening up a bit more when you're in social situations.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I mean, the extreme is if you're faced with a crush, you know, somebody that that you like, you think is cute or whatever. But it's that same method, right? If you're around a group of people, maybe you're nervous because they're native speakers. Just, you know, just go for it. Just start talking about yourself. Be confident that you are a cool person, and they're also going to think you're a cool person, right? Just share yourself, right?
Yeah. And that makes you more interesting as a person, right?
Yeah.
The more you open up about yourself, the more interesting you become, and just life will be easier on the IELTS and in your dating life.
Exactly.
Right. So that is the go-to strategy in case your mind goes blank. Perfect.
That was
excellent.
Awesome. Yay. This was really useful. I think, Lindsay, we did some good work
too.
Today.
This is hot advice, guys. So share it far and wide.
All right, Lindsay. We'll see you next week. Have a wonderful rest of the day.
You too. And I'll see you next week on the dot Monday morning.
Sounds good. Bye, Lindsay.
Take care. Bye. Thanks so much for listening to the IELTS Energy Podcast from All Ears English. And if you want to get tips from Lindsay and Jessica every week on how to get a 7 on your next IELTS exam, be sure to subscribe to our podcast on your computer or on your smartphone. Thanks again, and see you soon.